in the nation's capital, two blonde journalists who seek complete world domination. They're funny, they're informative, they're out of control. Ladies and gentlemen, Breaking Beltway with Jessica Chasmar and Catherine Timpf.
And welcome back to Breaking Beltway with Jessica Chasmar and Catherine Timpf.
Hello, hello, hello.
We come to you guys every Tuesday night with the latest hot topics in our own special way. I know, Kat, I know you had a very interesting weekend. I know that I was celebrating Halloween. It was a little scary. My boyfriend met the parents for the very first time.
Right, right.
But we had a really great time. It actually wasn't that bad. We went to the firing range, and we took the dog to the lake, and we had a really great time.
His dog.
We smoked some Cubans on the lake. And as you know, one of my favorite pastimes is to watch the little kids fall down at the ice skating rink.
Jeez.
I took them to do that, and they all got along really well. But I'm a little confused and kind of turned on at the same time. He just showed up at my door with a bottle of tequila and a plate of chocolate chip cookies.
That turns you on?
Who wouldn't?
Right? I don't know. I mean, that's crazy. Nobody's showing up at my door tonight, so that's fine. If there's a knock on my door tonight, I'm calling the cops. So
yeah.
I'm not expecting anyone.
You actually had a really scary weekend, too. What happened to you? You lost a lot of stuff.
Yeah, well, I had a really crazy weekend. I was doing the whole Fox and Friends thing on Sunday morning.
And is that a regular thing now?
Not technically. It's been the past couple weekends in a row. It's just if they can think of something that I might be good on or if it's my story. But today was like my first time going on kind of like just to talk.
Yeah, to talk about your opinion on it.
Yeah, on Facebook. And we'll talk about this later. But anyway, so they told me I'd be on with another guest. They didn't really give me any other details. I get on there and I'm on there with Miss America 2008. So I'm like, great. Like, I'm on there with somebody who's hot for a living, and I have to sit next to her on TV. Cool. Awesome.
Hey, you're smart and hot for a living, well, so whatever.
Thank you. No, like, right. I mean, it went great, and she was actually really, really nice. I, like, you know, like, it was great. It was no big deal. But it was a stressful day. I hadn't slept a lot. You'll have to excuse me if I'm tired. I still haven't slept a lot. I got in at 4 a.m. from New York today. But I was on the subway, and like it stopped because everything was crazy because of New York Marathon. So it was actually going to go back the other direction. And right. Everyone was shouting at me. So I just ran off. And then I realized all of a sudden that I had left one of my bags on the subway. And it was the bag with my laptop, my credit card, my ID, my debit card, my checkbook. Like,
so pretty much your entire life.
My entire life. Thousands of dollars gone.
So wait, how did you forget it? How many bags did you have with you?
I had a couple bags. And
this could only happen to Kat.
Well,
Timpf.
Because I'm in the process. I'm living kind of half in D.C. and half in New York right now. So that was the rest of my day. And I was, you know, going to hang out with someone in Brooklyn. And I was just going to go right from Brooklyn to a show and then to go to leave right from there. So I wasn't going to be going back to Joel's, you know, Joel, my friend Joel's apartment.
Right.
So I just had all my stuff with me, and I wasn't used to carrying that much stuff around, so I just forgot a bag, and I just happened to forget the bag. I freaked out. I don't know if you've ever stopped breathing, but the only other time I've stopped breathing like that is when I went skydiving. That was the most terrified I've ever been. A paramedic, like someone who worked as a paramedic or something was there and like brought like a paper bag and I was breathing into it. And I did the most ridiculous thing. I pressed the emergency alert button and I was like, I'm having an emergency.
Where was this? You pushed
on the
where?
Subway.
Oh.
Like, on the subway station. Like, what's your emergency? I'm like, I'm missing all my stop. But, they called all the trains and they were like, oh, we didn't find it. And then, I'm like, great. So, like, they're going to call the cops, and the cops come, and I'm like, well, what do you, you want to make a police report? I'm like, well, what do you guys even do?
Nothing.
And they said, oh, well, we alert the other officers so they can keep it out for your bag. So I'm like, okay, so you do nothing. And then I got a phone call from someone named Jorge, and he was a handyman, and him and the doorman, they both worked at the same apartment building as a handyman and a doorman. We're on the subway, and they saw my bag, and they were very worried it was going to explode on them. That's what they were telling me. But
yeah,
they saw the girl in the ID picture and thought about her not having her stuff and decided to take a risk, is what they told me. So the cops couldn't help me.
God bless Jorge.
Yeah, Jorge is a hero. He is a hero. Him and the doorman saved my stuff and saved my life, basically. But, like, the cops, no thanks to the cops, the private sector got my stuff back. But
right.
It was the scariest thing.
Oh, I'm sure. Were you able to personally thank them? Were you able
to
see them?
I went down there and got it. And I was like, is there anything I can do for you guys? I'm like, do you want me to write you a check? Do you want me to bury your children? Do you want me to bring you dinner? Like, what? You just tell me what you want. But they were like, oh, like, seeing you so happy is enough. So...
that's awesome. That's happened to me once before. A taxi driver actually returned my wallet to me when I was visiting D.C. I was like 19. I was visiting D.C. from Florida with my friends and lost my wallet, had it absolutely nothing, you know, mm-hmm. on vacation, you know.
Right.
And then the taxi driver found me about 3 days later with everything. It was pretty awesome. So there are good people in the world and not everybody is terrible. And
this was within about 5 minutes. It was the most absurd.
That's awesome.
It was amazing. And I was, you know, I had to leave that night and I was like, I had no cash. I was mm-hmm. like, I have no things. I have two high heels and a bunch of sweatshirts and a bunch of Fox News dresses.
It's awful.
My other bag.
God's looking out for you that day. That's for sure. She got all of her stuff back.
Yep.
That's awesome. Well, with that, we're actually going to take a break real quick and we're going to come back and talk about what Kat talked about on Fox and Friends. We're going to talk about some Facebook relationships.
All right.
You're listening to Breaking Beltway.
She's calling me to get right down. Work it out again to catch my drown. And throw it in as the facts unpack. And grab resurrection. No one else will penetrate time.
Listening to Breaking Beltway with Catherine Timp and Jessica Chasmar.
Hey guys.
We're going to talk about what I talked about on Fox and Friends this weekend. This study basically says that it studied, you know, more than 1 million people. And it said that those people who are listed as being in an official relationship on Facebook are, the more mutual friends they have, the more likely they are to break up. That was a study.
That doesn't make any sense to me. You would think that, like, the closer you're, I don't know.
Well, maybe I guess
you would want you to have your own life, you know, and have your own friends. And
right. I guess you, what they were saying is that, you know, if you don't have any other interests outside of your friends,
right,
then your social circle will implode, or your relationship will implode.
And,
but what I talked about is that people who are in public relationships on Facebook, like Jessica Chasnow, for example, tend to share absolutely everything about their lives on the internet, like Jessica Chasnow, yes, for example. I don't know.
I don't think she did it on purpose, but she actually used Jessica as an example on Fox and Friends of people who share everything. She actually said my name as a bit of a Freudian slip, I think.
I know, but you do. I didn't even think of that, but you absolutely do. I mean, I would definitely never be in a Facebook official relationship.
One thing that I definitely have a problem with are people who post negative things about their relationship, you know?
Right. Yeah, I've never seen you do that.
Well, of course, you know, I've only been in this thing for not too long, but, you know, even if things got really bad, I would never.
Why would you want to humiliate yourself that way?
And humiliate the other person. And even, you know, even going through a breakup or, you know, even the worst crap that people have put me through, I would never even think to put something on there that people could easily attribute to that person. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Or your family or your friends or anybody. You never trash talk anybody on Facebook because it will come to bite you. I see people saying negative things about their parents, about their friends, or they're really passive aggressive. Like, they won't name them by name, you know, but they'll be like, oh, really specific, you know, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm sure you have people in your circle who do that, who post passive-aggressive stats about people.
Oh, absolutely.
Without naming them, but you know who they're talking about, you know? And, of course, it's just tacky. And it not only that, but it makes the readers feel uncomfortable. And I've actually, mm-hmm, you know, called people out for that. It's like, you're going to regret this. And I had to delete this one guy who was trash-talking his parents because they let his dog out by accident, and the dog got hit by a car. And he took to Facebook and said, I will never forgive my mother and father for what they did and for my little Fido being run over by a car, kind of thing.
How old is this person?
Probably in his 30s. He ran for political office once, but I just remember being like, are you kidding me? You know, that's, you're actually going to compare your parents to a dog? Really? Like, your dog is more important than... I couldn't believe... So little things like that, you can't take statements like that back, you know?
That's just absurd. That's
right?
Just absolutely absurd to post garbage about your parents as a 30-year-old man.
Right. Because they accidentally let out your dog. Or,
I don't,
you know,
care
or
what
the people,
they did.
Or the people who post, you know, song lyrics and then, you know...
song lyrics that are like, we, you know what I mean? Like, now you're just somebody that I used to know.
Yeah, like, I used to laugh when we were together, and now I only cry.
Yeah, yeah. And so I feel like that's probably maybe what's causing the problem in a lot of these relationships.
Too. And you know what's sad is I would like to think that only tweens do this, but like I said, this guy was in his 30s. I know people very close to me who do these passive-aggressive statuses about people, and they're my age. And it's just ridiculous. And I can totally understand why something like that could break up a relationship. Don't be careless. Don't be tacky. You know, I mean, keep that stuff yourself. And don't overload people with the mushy stuff either, because that can really piss people off too.
Yeah, you know, no kissing pictures,
right,
okay?
Right, exactly.
The kissing pictures are never okay. I don't care if it's your anniversary. I don't want to see you making out at a Ruby Tuesday,
yeah,
okay?
It's dangerous. It's also dangerous when you start rubbing your relationship in people's faces. And that can also turn around and bite you in the butt, I think, as far as...
Listen, the bottom line is nobody cares about your relationship but you.
Exactly.
Nobody cares.
Except for the creepers who definitely want to know that if I'm on the market or not. And
I'm
with you as well.
Oh my gosh. I accidentally tweeted something about being single, and all these guys were like, you're single? I was like, oh no, I've made a horrible mistake.
Yeah, wait until you say that you're not single and you'll lose about half of your followers. That's what happened to me.
Yeah.
No, I take that back. I was actually really surprised not to lose a whole lot of people, and I was very pleasantly surprised, I'd have to say.
They probably just think you're playing hard to get.
Right.
They probably think you made Micah.
Right. I wrote this story for WashingtonTimes.com today. And I thought that this was really because I know that you do a lot of reporting on California and how they're going bankrupt and, you know, how they pretty much completely opened up their borders and all that. But I guess Eastville, California, they've contracted a part-time license inspector to canvass door-to-door in the city to see if people are licensing their pets.
Yeah.
So it's basically like the police just stop. Oh, they're knocking on these people's doors. What they have is this little iPhone application on their phones that shows who has a dog license. So they go up to your door, and if you
There's an iPhone application?
Yeah, they have some kind of iPhone thing that shows them who has dog licenses at what residences.
That is so creepy. That is way too much information.
Exactly. So what they do is they go up to your house. And they knock on the door, and if you're not home, which this guy says is about like 90% of the people are not home because this is during work hours, if they hear a dog barking, or if they see a cat, or if they hear a dog, or if they see a dog in the backyard, and there's no license registered to that house, they have to get their license renewed every year. If there's no license to that house, then they'll give you a ticket, giving you 20 days. To get their pets vaccinated, licensed, microchipped, and fixed. 20 days.
Wait, you don't even have the freedom to not neuter your pet anymore?
I think it's a lesser fine, actually. If they are fixed, the ticket will be lesser. But if they are not fixed, I think it's a bigger fine if they're not licensed. I'm not sure. It didn't have a whole lot of information as far as the neutering. But they don't have to get their pets neutered, but it costs more to keep them not altered.
Kind of like Obamacare, like you have to pay a penalty to not have insurance.
I guess so. Yeah.
I mean, but this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. Like, you know, when I was little, I had, you know, before grabbed a stray cat off the street and brought it home. What, am I a criminal?
Right.
I don't think it's that weird for a kid to do, or a frog. I mean, what qualifies as a pet? You like, if there's a fly in your house, that's not registered, you're going to get in trouble.
I just want to know, like, why this...
Gonna come after you.
It doesn't make any sense to me. They obviously just need money, you know, and it's going to... It's supposed to generate about $200,000 for them.
That's nothing. California is... Their debt is absurd. Their wall of debt is absurd.
I would be pretty pissed off if somebody knocked on my door, hey, give me proof of vaccinations and licenses for your dog. I'd be like, who the hell are you? Off my property. You know what I mean?
It just creeps. That iPhone app really also creeps me out. We're talking about, you know, almost $30 billion in debt in California.
Yeah.
This wall of debt, like $30 billion, okay? Maybe even more, by some estimates. You know, I hear estimates of the total wall of debt, you know, reaching almost $100 billion, mm-hmm. and even over $1 trillion. I hear estimates of them having debt of over $1 trillion, and they're going to be this invasive.
Yeah,
over $200,000.
Well, you know, in all fairness, it's just one little city that's doing it. But still, you know, Riverside County.
I don't care.
It's crazy. I don't know. I would be so angry. I can't imagine somebody knocking on my door. It wouldn't surprise me. I live in Maryland. It wouldn't surprise me. But I'd be pretty angry if somebody was on my property asking me for proof of vaccinations and licenses and microchips for my dog. Get the hell out of here. I'm an armed citizen, you know? I don't know. That's crazy to me. That's overreach.
No, that's crazy to me. I mean, I don't know about the whole bringing the gun to the door thing, but I mean, this is, I can't even, what's next? They're going to be coming knocking on the door and being like, when's the last time you had a haircut?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I didn't really realize that they had to renew their licenses every year. That seems really crazy to me. Because I know in Maryland, you have to get your pet vaccinated for rabies every year. Rabies! What the hell? I don't understand.
My cat
that
is not vaccinated for rabies.
It's an indoor cat. I have an indoor cat. Are you serious? That's Maryland. So, I mean, rabies is pretty much non-existent anymore anyways. Who has rabies? It's like
polio. I've not heard of rabies in a very long time.
All I know is Michael Scott tried to hold a fundraiser for it. It didn't work out too well from the
office. Oh, yeah. I remember that. That was a great episode.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely has to go in down in my top five favorite shows ever. But with that, we're going to go to another musical break with some Queen, one of my favorites. I know Kat's not a huge fan, but here we go. We'll be back in a minute.
Anybody find me somebody to
somebody to love.
Anybody
status on Facebook that I really liked. Jessica posted about Obama being a Republican president.
Yep.
Well, what exactly was it again?
Barack Obama is everything I hate about the Republican Party.
He is.
A lot of people were really confused by that. And I was confused that they were confused. I mean, how obvious is it?
Because people drive around with all those peace stickers on their car. They don't realize he's like such a huge neocon.
Well, the neocons were so confused. They were like, what? And this one guy was like, I think you need to stop sniffing glue on Mondays. And this other guy was like, Obama is everything I hate about liberal Democrats. Or, you know, revised what I said. And it's like, no, I said what I meant. Are you guys not watching this? You know, are you guys not paying attention?
Right. I mean, well, do you remember that video I made? If you haven't seen it, go to campusreform.org, check it out. I went to USC, and this was during, you know, while he was saying he wanted to go into Syria. And I said, do you think Obama still deserves his Nobel Peace Prize? Every single kid I talked to said, yes, absolutely, with conviction, yes. And then I said, why? And they said, duh, no. None of them could explain.
For what specifically?
People gave me answers like, he's just a great guy. And I feel like
that's worthy of a Nobel Peace.
Right. I'm like, well, I'm a pretty great person too. I feel like I'm pretty cool. Where's mine?
Right.
So, I mean, it's really, every time I see one of those Obama peace stickers, done anything like turning the O instead of a peace sign into like a drone.
Right.
Let's do that. Let's make that.
Yeah. I mean, it just gets worse and worse. And I don't understand, you know, a lot of people on the right, they're just like, oh my gosh, he's a cop. Well, of course he's got communist ideals and all that, but oh my gosh, he's so liberal. Oh my gosh, he's so on the left, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, all the people on the left say, oh, he's, you know, he's moving toward the middle and all that. But you know, what's funny is everything, and I really believe this, that everything about the Republican Party that made me leave it is the stuff that Barack Obama stands for. And I don't understand how that confuses people. I mean, we're talking about, you know, intervention in Syria. We're talking about drone strikes and killing civilians. We're talking about, you know, giving a 6-month extension to big business for Obamacare and making individuals sign on now. You know, I mean, these were just little things that have happened just in the last 2 months that have proven that he's a neocon in a lot of different respects. You know, so
all the
worst things about the Republican Party is what Obama stands for. And all of the worst things on the Democratic Party is what Obama stands for.
Yeah, well, also, people aren't just, they're just not aware of negative things about his presidency. My dad, he was at work kind of talking about the website, making a joke about, because he was talking like a younger web programmer, like, oh, like, the government could sure use your help, blah, 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 blah. And the kid had no idea what he was talking about.
Wow.
Kid had no idea. How does he not know that healthcare.gov? How does he not know this? He said this was last week. This was all people, like, this is all that I was hearing about last week. How?
This new book by the guys who wrote Game Change, this Double Down, is coming out tomorrow. Or actually, it came out Tuesday. And, a couple of different things that have been revealed that Obama has said. He supposedly said, I haven't read the book and probably won't because I don't read. I'm anti-reading.
I'm pro-reading. I love reading.
I'm reading Escape from Camp 14 right now, so I'm kind of engrossed in that. But he basically said, he told his aides that he's really good at killing people. That's a direct quote from these guys.
This is Mr. Nobel Peace Prize himself.
Yeah, he's really good at killing people. So he's we've killed quite a few civilians with these drones. I think the CIA said, or let's see, no, this is the journalism bureau over in London is saying that the CIA has killed about 1,000 civilians since 2004. I don't know how accurate that is. But, you know, that's a lot of civilians. But he's basically just like, oh, it's collateral damage is basically what he says. And, you know, there are a lot of liberals that are obviously very against this. But then there are the loyalists. Well,
there's a lot of people that are very against this. You should be against this. This is absurd.
Yeah. And then there are the loyalists like Touré on MSNBC, who basically can't see anything wrong that President Obama has done. I mean, Touré, you know, he's black. He's got to be true to his brother. And he said stuff like that. He voted for him because he's black. He's got to stick with him because he's black. He basically said that, you know, an intervention in Syria is necessary because Obama says so, you know. And,
yeah,
and
I'm not familiar with, I know who he is, but I'm not familiar with any
and
of
these
the statements.
And these are people that, you know, obviously, if this was a Republican in office, they would be screaming to the high heavens to get him out, you know. So it's just because he's Obama, he can't do anything wrong. Did you watch SNL the other day? Keenan Thompson.
I don't have TV. I like books. I'm pro books.
Keenan Thompson kind of was making fun of how blacks are so allegiant. No, that's not a word. have an allegiance to Barack Obama because of his race. And he basically was holding like a little talk show. And there are two other African-American comedians were on there. And they were just like, yeah, nope, he can never do wrong. And it was kind of funny because they were finally acknowledging the faults. You know what I mean? And I kind of liked that. It wasn't the funniest skit they've ever had, but at least...
There are no funny skits.
But this being really good at killing people is pretty disturbing. I don't want my president saying that.
Also, I don't want any... A Nobel Peace Prize winner.
Right. And also, you know, there's a lot of other things coming out of this book. I really wish that I had read Game Changer because I heard that it was a game changer. I heard that it was fantastic. I just never got around to it. But this Double Down, it's also really, you know, it's not any question that Obama hates leaks. Obama hates leakers. You know, this is one of the tightest administrations we've had.
Right, but he promised it would be no secrets.
Yeah, yeah. This has not been an open administration at all. People have been talking about, you know, scare tactics, journalists, you know. Even liberals. Bob Beckel talks about how people are from the Obama administration are yelling at him all the time for being critical of the administration. So... we're definitely seeing some scare tactics, some intimidation by the White House as far as what the media can report and what they cannot, which is, I think is really, really frightening, a frightening sign of the times.
I mean, look, I just don't understand how he gets away with being this peace president, this pro, like, individual president, when he is the biggest and crony capitalist warmonger.
Mm-hmm.
That it's gotta be unbelievable. It's he, like, what are you reading?
Right. They're not, obviously. They're not reading.
But you're not, but I,
Right? I mean, all you have to do is just go on Google, you know, watch a speech, read a speech. I mean, come on. I mean, just the other day when he was at that Obamacare rally, you know, all you have to do is just watch that and know that he's lying and then try to sign up for Obamacare yourself. You know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that our president is lying to our faces. You know, definitely doesn't take a rocket scientist. But obviously, you know, all the low information voters, the media, you know, with their agenda, they shape and mold the minds of people who don't know any better, you know,
plus
and they're winning.
Cool. You see him on the newsstands. I always use the example on the cover of the Rolling Stone with the jacket slung over his shoulder. He's a cool guy.
Yeah, yeah. So he's got the vote of the younger kids. I guess that's all that counts for him. But yeah. Oh my, it's scary, and we still have 3 years left. You know.
Oh man, maybe
we're not even close to the end. We're not even close. But with that, I think we're gonna need a little pick me up. With some rush after that. I'm a little depressed. Take me back, Giddy V.
A Monday warrior, mean, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean, mean pride. Ever quiet defense, right?
back to Breaking Beltway. Telling you, actually, I didn't really tell you, but I mentioned in the last segment that I'm reading Escape from Camp 14. Have you heard of it?
No, I mean, I've heard of it, but I'm not familiar really with it at all.
It's actually, I had never even heard of it, and it was actually just released last year, and it's about this man, Shin, and he was born in a North Korean political prison. I think it was a political prison. And he was the only man who's actually been born in a North Korean prison camp and escaped to freedom.
How?
And I haven't gotten to the point where he's escaped.
Or
way through, and I cannot put it down. It is so good. He escaped through China. And it took him a really long time, obviously. He's now living in California. And the story is just absolutely remarkable. It shows, I mean, he had his mother and brother killed for a bowl of rice. It is the most amazing story. There, these people that are brought up in these North Korean prison camps, they're turned into animals. And basically all they know is kill or be killed. And they're taught to snitch, not to have allegiances to their families. And children born within the camps are usually out of arranged marriages. So the parents don't care much for them. So they're basically just slave workers to the state from the day they die. And he was able to escape. And he told his story. And, he told his story because he was hoping that humanitarian aid and or whatever, something could be done. But, you know, obviously nothing has been. And what can be done? That's the thing.
No, there's nothing that can be done.
I mean, I wanted to read this one passage because it's absolutely incredible, and I'll never forget it. It's from page 37, and it says, "Although pity was forbidden, there were few other guidelines for treatment of prisoners. As a result, guards were free to indulge their appetites and eccentricities, often preying on attractive young women prisoners who would usually consent to sex for better treatment. If this resulted in babies, women and their babies were killed." Anne said, noting that he had personally seen newborns clubbed to death with iron rods. The theories behind the camps was to cleanse unto three generations the families of incorrect thinkers. So it was inconsistent to allow operation to be born. So these people are thrown into these prison camps, even if they have, you know, guilty by association. It's three generations. So if your grandfather committed a crime, you know, a crime being dissenting against the government, any kind of dissent, then the grandfather, the father, and the son would all be imprisoned for life. And that's Kim Il-sung's, you know, little brilliant idea. So this story is just absolutely incredible, and I urge everybody to read this because it really puts things into perspective. And, you know, it's kind of incredible because we always look at the Holocaust as the biggest humanitarian crisis ever in our recent history. And, you know, this is going on right now. You know, this is a Holocaust going on right now. And what do you do? You know, what do you do? We can't bomb North Korea because of South Korea. You can't bomb North Korea because of China.
I'm anti-bombing.
You can't even do anything. And if you were to try to liberate, because one thing is we are big benefactors to North Korea. We give them a lot of aid. So if we were to cut that off, we could easily collapse the North Korean government. But then what are you going to do with the refugees? And that's where China comes into play. And then we've made an enemy. Or a bigger enemy than China already is. You know what I mean? So there's really nothing that can be done. And it's so frustrating because you read this story, you know it's going on right this second. You know, and there's no Mia Farrows, there's no Sean Penns, you know, there's nobody that's going to help them. So that is definitely a book that our listeners, I know that a lot of our listeners would just eat up. I'm, like I said in our last segment, I am not a reader.
I read
all day long for my job. But the last thing I want to do when I get home from a long day's work is read. But I picked up this book and I cannot put it down. It even has pictures. It's fantastic. You have to buy it. But I wrote a story for WashingtonTimes.com today. And when I posted it on Twitter, everybody was just like, oh, my God, we've turned into this communist country, bleh. And I couldn't help but just pick up this book and be like, no, we haven't. There is You know, there is still hope. And how dare you? How dare you compare my country to the DPRK? How dare you compare Barack Obama to, you know what I mean? Like, that, there is no comparison. There is absolutely no comparison. And to say that, you know, a little bit, you know, shutting down the parks during the shutdown, yeah, that was horrible and ridiculous for America. That should never be happening in America. But to say that it's a sign of what's to come for the DPRK or Russia or anything like that.
That's why people don't take conservatives seriously.
Exactly.
Because of that.
Exactly. They tweet this stuff at me all the time, and I'm just like, are you kidding, dude?
Oh, I know.
You're really, I mean, even, I know that it was meant to be funny to call the park police the Gestapos. I know that that was supposed to be, you know, a kind of jab, and they were ridiculous, but to call them the actual Gestapo is ridiculous. But anyway, I wrote this, moving on. I wrote this story for WashingtonTimes.com, and it made me think about this because when I posted it, everybody blew up that it was communist and stuff. But this Arizona couple, they pulled their two children out of this elementary school, a private elementary school, last week after the headmaster threatened to expel their 8-year-old for drawing a, quote, highly disturbing pictures of, one was of a soldier, another was of a nun, and the other was of a Star Wars character.
Why were they highly disturbing?
They were highly disturbing because they were all holding weapons. You know, there's a soldier, a ninja, and a Star Wars character. They were all holding guns or knives of some sort. And they were all supposed to be mock-ups for the Halloween costume he wanted. He was, you know, fantasizing about his Halloween costume, and he drew these pictures. He's an 8-year-old kid. And so now, these parents are just furious. They're accusing the school of being bullies.
How did they even get the drawing? I don't know. I can't. Okay, kids, if you're listening and you go to school, do not draw.
Yeah,
do not draw at school. Anything you draw will get you at least suspended. Do not draw.
Yeah.
Even if you think you're not drawing violence, you are drawing violence. Right. No don't try to write a poem about how upset you are that your football team keeps losing. Yeah. No creativity in school. Because your creativity may and probably will be construed as offensive by the zero tolerance school administration.
But the problem is, we demand you be creative. How?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it gets worse because I guess this little boy had a journal. I guess as part of an assignment as well, they were supposed to keep a journal. And I guess he talked a lot about saving the world. And yeah.
What a terrible kid.
Yeah, he wrote about saving the world, and he also wished that he had the ability to stop an atom bomb. To stop an atom bomb.
Right, so this kid is clearly super violent and needs to be removed.
He also talked about escaping a killer zombie at a haunted school. So, taking this stuff way too seriously. This kid's obviously watching movies and video games or whatever, like normal little 8-year-old boys do. You know?
Yeah.
And just taking it way, way over the line. Way over the line. This poor kid, they're traumatizing these kids.
I mean, I'm sorry that I don't sound shocked. I mean...
No, me neither. But it's so sad because this kid, you know, you're taking this little 8-year-old kid away from all of his friends, away from his safe environment, you know, taking his little pictures away. I don't know. I think it's really sad. And I'm glad they took their kid out of this school because... Obviously, it's a private school. They're paying a lot of money to put their kids there. If they're going to bully your kid for a stupid picture of a ninja, are you kidding me? And they're really good pictures. You should see him. He's going to be a little artist.
Yeah.
But that's definitely not a sign of the times that we're all going to be thrown into political prisons.
No, I don't think we're going to be thrown in. No, I don't. I don't think that either.
But it's definitely scary when you start to see stuff like that come here, you know, especially when we see it so much in the UK and stuff where just political correctness has completely gone awry, you know?
See, I don't even necessarily think of it as some sort of, what's going to happen? I think of the way it is now, it's pretty bad.
Oh, heck yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, definitely putting it into perspective can be a healthy thing as well.
Agreed.
And with that, we're going to go to another musical break. You're listening to Breaking Beltway. And welcome back to Breaking Beltway with Jessica Chasmore and...
Catherine Timp.
Just make sure she's awake over there.
So tired. It's been such a crazy week.
I'm trying to keep her awake. But we have our WTF segment, and the tequila is helping with that.
Your tequila. See, I'm just sleep deprived.
She's still delirious, though, folks.
Oh, man.
I wrote a story. Actually, I wrote two stories for WashingtonTimes.com today that were really messed up. This, in Huntington Beach, California, a two-year-old boy was found with methamphetamine in his system. And it turns out that the candy that he had received while trick-or-treating on Halloween night was laced with meth.
No.
Yeah. So, you know, remember, did your parents ever make you, like, squeeze the candy to check for razor blades and needles?
No, that was not really an issue.
Oh. Well, it was supposed to be, like, I guess it turned out to be an urban legend or whatever, but if you're supposed to squeeze the candy, and if it had a hole in it or if it didn't have any air in it, you're supposed to throw it away.
I've never heard that.
Every Halloween, we would go through my candy and squeeze them and throw away the ones that had holes in them. And but anyway, I guess now kids have to worry about being laced with meth because this kid experienced a lot of nightmares. He wouldn't go back to sleep and he was totally wired for like a whole day. So, and not only that, some other kid was hospitalized Saturday from tainted candy, a tainted roll of Smarties with some kind of drug on it. So these little California kids, it's not really safe for them to go trick-or-treating out there.
People are bored. They're just drugging kids. They're sick. I mean, I don't really know.
Maybe it was the parents who accidentally, like, misplaced their meth, you know, and they're just blaming it on the Halloween candy. Who knows? But that's just nuts. You wouldn't think that meth users would want to give away free meth.
Right, that's what I was just going to say. Like,
unless they were really sick and, you know, sick in the head and wanted the kid to actually experience it, which would be really messed up.
So what if this kid becomes a meth addict now?
Yeah, right? It's like only the most highly addictive drug in the world. Right. He probably just ruined his whole life.
Right.
He's like, oh, man, that was way better than candy.
I'm like a really big sugar high right now. Oh, wait, no, it's meth.
Oh, my gosh, that's so messed up. And also, I wrote another story for Washington Times. This German health spa, it's called the Crystal something, 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 something in German. But it's K-R-I-S-T-A-L-L. Or
oh, no.
T-A-L-L.
Oh, no.
And they advertised a long, romantic Kristallnacht.
It's not okay.
As you know, Kristallnacht is the night of broken glass when Nazi forces burned murdered Jews across Germany. This was 75 years ago, almost exactly. I think it was either the 8th. No, it was the 9th of November that it happened. And this special is being held on the 75th anniversary. So we're trying to figure out, I mean, are they really that ignorant in Germany? I can't imagine that they made this play on words completely ignorantly. You know what I mean?
Of course not. Of course not. It was on purpose. I mean, that's sick. That's the sickest thing I've ever heard. Well, not really.
Totally
I've seen,
sick.
I mean, one of, I hear pretty sick things every day, but I mean, hopefully nobody goes, you know, hopefully everyone who goes to that is put on some sort of like watch list. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, right. They definitely took it down. They took it down. They apologized for it and said that they meant nothing political, but I don't see how you could do that.
Oh my gosh. That's like when Obama's saying he misspoke. You can keep your own health plan. I misspoke.
Yeah.
You misspoke more than 24 times, Mr. President. Okay. All right, buddy.
I don't see how you can be that ignorant, especially living in Germany, how you could not know what you're doing when you put a long romantic Kristallnacht. I mean, come on. Even us Americans know what Kristallnacht is. Come on. Ugh. So they took that down, and hopefully they'll lose some business for that.
Yeah.
And also, we're going to end with something a little fun here because I actually really like Burger King, and I really don't like Elvis Presley.
I love Burger King, and I hate Elvis Presley.
But actually, the home of the Whopper, they're looking to make a bid. Actually, they did make a bid on Elvis Presley's former Beverly Hills home. They want to buy it for $3.69 million and turn it into a big BK, I guess.
See, I love Burger King, but I don't think I would even want to go into that Burger King because I think it would be so annoying.
Oh, right.
It would be like an Elvis Presley-themed Burger King.
Oh, yeah.
like, I don't want to go in there and have it be like, oh, Burger King, but Elvis music all the time. Like, no thank you.
It doesn't look like it's going to happen because the person who owns the house, he wants to give it or sell it for at least 10. But I want to turn it into a Burger King, so we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah.
The home of the king, I guess. The home of the Burger King, who knows. But he probably died from Burger King. Didn't he die from being fat? Or like
I have no idea, but he probably did. If he didn't, then it's coming.
He died on the toilet, I think.
Oh, Elvis? You don't die from that's not being fat. I thought you meant the guy who owned Burger King.
I honestly don't remember. I'm just going off pop culture, what I remember
Elvis
in my
died
head.
In the toilet, but it had nothing to do with being fat.
27 years of growing up and hearing crap, you start to make up your own stuff. But anyway, oh, tonight was fun. You are listening to Breaking Beltway with Jessica Chasmar and Catherine Timpf. Say bye, Kat.
Bye.
Yep, you guys, we come to you every Tuesday night. You can hear us on iTunes. and breakingbeltway.com. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. You guys, we're constantly updating and posting funny stuff, so feel free to keep updated that way. And we will talk to you next week.
Pirates satellites, orbiting your living room, cashing in the Bill of Rights.